There's all six of us here today. I looked out when we first came out, and that's all that was up front. It was Donna. So we have multiplied a little bit, but it is sparse. Today we only have people who are out sick and those who are visiting friends and family this day. So we just want to remember them in our prayers. If you have your Bible with you, please turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 7. If you don't have a Bible with you, check underneath the seats, and you should be able to find one close by. Gospel of John, chapter 7, we'll be starting with the 14th verse. Gospel of John, chapter 7, verse 14. Not until halfway through the feast did Jesus go up to the temple courts and begin to teach. The Jews were amazed and asked, "Did this man get such learning? How did this man get such learning without having studied?" Jesus answered, "My teaching is not my own. It comes from him who sent me. If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. He who speaks on his own does so to gain honor for himself. But he who works for the honor of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. Has not Moses given you the law? Yet not one of you keeps the law. Why are you trying to kill me?" "You're demon-possessed," the crowd answered. "Who is trying to kill you?" Jesus answered them, "I did one miracle, and you were all astonished. Yet because Moses gave you circumcision, though actually it did not come from Moses, but from the patriarchs, you circumcised a child on the Sabbath. Now if a child can be circumcised on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses may not be broken, why are you angry with me for healing the whole man on the Sabbath? Stop judging by mere appearances, and make a right judgment." Let's pray. Father God, we come before you this morning. We do thank you and praise you for your word. Now, Lord, we ask that you'd send your Holy Spirit to illuminate these scriptures for us, that you would give us understanding of your truth that is beyond the wisdom of man, but is supernatural, that comes from you. Lord, help us to have not just head knowledge, but also heart and hand knowledge, that we would know it in our heart and live it out in our hands. Lord, we ask that you would help us to walk with you each and every day in a closer way. And now, Lord, we just give you this time and we pray for your blessing on this service. In Jesus' name, amen. And one of our roses died. Now those roses are for you ladies after the service, and anybody who would like to take a rose for their mother. So you can collect them from me following the service. I will have them up front. That will ensure that some of you actually come and say hi today, instead of sneaking out back. And you may choose either a yellow or a red. First come, first serve. And there was a yellow that bit the dust earlier, and now the red did, so there's 23 of each. Last week, we looked at the previous verses. We saw how we often try to put God in a box. We always try to figure out how to define him by man's wisdom and man's way. And what we see here is that Jesus shows us that we continually try to do that, not just with our hearts, but with our minds, and when we make judgments, and that we're not to be doing that. When Jesus was looking at these people and the temple courts, and he's teaching them, the last time that he'd been teaching in those courts. He had healed a man on the Sabbath. And they were all up in arms that he was doing this quote-unquote work on the Sabbath, that he was breaking the law of Moses. And he shows them that here it is. The law of Moses that you're so upset about me breaking because I brought healing to this man is the same thing that has you circumcising someone on the Sabbath, circumcising this baby. Now, why would you do that? Well, because it's important for the spiritual well-being of him to do that. So, you do that. And that physical healing, Jesus is trying to say, is just as important. As a matter of fact, that's just an after effect of the spiritual healing that went on in the man. So stop looking at appearances and make a right judgment. But we all have difficulty doing that. When we read what God has to say, we always want to take what God says and do something weird with it. And this has been going on forever. For example, let me read to you this. This is not a real dialogue. It's one that somebody made up. Okay, but this is a discussion between God and Moses. When Moses went up to Sinai to receive the oral explanation of God's law, he was quite confused with the commandment, "Do not boil a calf in its mother's milk." Moses, who was rather perplexed, says, "I don't understand this line about boiling a calf in its mother's milk. What does it mean?" God answers, "It means don't boil a calf in its mother's milk." Moses thinks on this for a little while and then replies, says, "Oh, I get it. It means that we shouldn't eat meat products and dairy products on the same plate." "No," said God, "it means don't boil a calf in its mother's milk." "Oh, I get it," said Moses. "We should have a separate set of dishes for dairy and meat products." "No," said God, "it means don't boil a calf in its mother's milk." Moses, "Oh, I see. It means we should wait an appropriate amount of time after eating flesh before we can intake of milk or any dairy product. But fish is okay since it doesn't give milk." "No," says God, "it doesn't. It means don't boil a calf in its mother's milk." Moses, "Well, what about chicken? It doesn't give milk, but it sort of tastes like the flesh of a milk-producing animal." God, "Moses, it means don't boil a calf in its mother's milk." "Okay, I get it, I think, now. Let me see if I got this right. Now, we should have a separate set of cooking and eating utensils for meat and dairy products. And after partaking of meat, we should wait an appropriate amount of time before we partake of any dairy products. Fish should not be considered meat since it doesn't give milk. Chicken, on the other hand, should be considered as meat even though it doesn't produce milk since it tastes like animals that do." Have it your own way. I don't think God does the have it your own way. But I can certainly see where God would get frustrated with us. And we have Jesus' words where, "Stop judging by mere appearances and make a right judgment. Unless you think that the Jews back in the biblical times were the ones that ever did that. Have you looked at the bylaws of a lot of churches and congregations? Have you looked at the constitution of the CMA? Sometimes there's some stuff that slips in there that you kind of go, huh? Where's the Bible say that? How many of you grew up in an evangelical background? Conservative Christian theology type thing. Is it sinful to go to the movies when you were growing up? Oh, yes. Having a drink. Yes, that's a sin. I've read the Bible and it doesn't say that. What does it say? It says don't be addicted to much drink. It's not the same thing as don't drink. Matter of fact, other place, I'm reading a place that tells me to go out and buy a whole bunch so I can have a good party. But yet, we do these things. We come up with we read what God says. And then we make this left turn. And every parent has seen their children do it. You said, don't do this. And, you know, lo and behold, they're off doing, well, I didn't do what you said, but I did this, this, and that. And you're going, how did you get over there? Well, you said this, and then I thought that meant that I couldn't do this, so I did that. And then I went over here, and you're going, and you just stand there with your jaw down to the floor going, huh? How did you get that out of what I said? Well, God tells us what to do. And Jesus comes back and tells us again, stop judging by mere appearances and make a right judgment. Everybody was all excited about the teaching that Jesus was doing. Because by appearances, who was he? He was a nobody from Galilee. As far as they knew, they didn't even recognize the fact that he was of the lineage of David. They didn't ask. They didn't ever ask him, where were you born? Since he lived in the area of Galilee, up in Nazareth, they assumed that he must have been born there. But he wasn't. He was born in the little town of Bethlehem, which is the place where the Messiah is supposed to be born. But appearances showed that he wasn't, because he didn't live there. Appearances said that he was the son of a carpenter, so I shouldn't know anything about the Scriptures. But he had studied them all of his life. But he was never went to the right school. He didn't have the right rabbi that he went to school with. That meant that he must not know anything. How many of you don't know anything and never... You don't have a college degree, you must not know anything. Even if you do have a college degree, if you didn't come from the right school, you still don't know anything. After all, certain schools are better than others. That's all about appearances. It has nothing to do with whether or not you actually studied. Just did you go through it? Our schools do that with kids all the time. We're not going to go there. But Jesus, we looked at him, and they were all confused by the appearances. Make a right judgment, he said. Don't let the appearances. Look at the facts. Look at what is going on. Is he does have the knowledge and the truth that he is performing the miracles of God. Therefore, well, we can't listen to him because he didn't go to the right school. Therefore, what? Therefore, stop making judgments by mere appearances and make a right judgment. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. What is God interested in? What has God always been interested in? Our hearts, isn't it? Your heart. He's in a battle for your heart. He wants your heart. David was considered a man after God's own heart because even though he did some terrible things, it was David's heart to want to please God. God is after our hearts. It's not about the letter. It's about the heart. The letter of law says, we don't do work on the Sabbath. No, we don't. We shouldn't do work on the Sabbath. What am I doing up here? But what's the heart of the law? The heart is that we would come to know, we would spend time with God on the Sabbath. Isn't that what it is? That we would be with Him, that we would rest from our work, and that we would set that aside and make it holy. What does holy mean? That it's set apart for God. So what does that mean? If it's set apart for God, what should we be doing? Stuff that glorifies God on that day. Well, what does God tell us to do? Love one another. Worship me. Spend time with me. So if I do any of those things, am I doing what God has told me to do? Yes. His heart. He wants us to follow His heart. He also wants to, does indeed want us to follow the law, even though we are incapable of it. It says, not one of you keeps the law. And He shows us earlier, Sermon on the Mount, which explains how we indeed break the law in thought, word, and deed every day, at least in spirit. When we are angry at someone, it's as if we've murdered them. Because we wish bad for them, we're mad. When we shouldn't be doing that. What we're supposed to be doing is doing what God says, not what man says. Okay? All the business about the diet, about all the plates and the different things. When you look through the Bible, you don't find that. That's additional laws that the dietary laws that were come up with by the rabbis and the priests and the Levites. You know, they came up with these things. And they added it and they put it equal to God's Word and said, in order to follow God's Word, you have to do this. No, in order to follow God's Word, you follow God's Word. That is, do what God says, not what man says. If God says you can do it, or this is what you're supposed to do, then that's what you're supposed to do. Follow God's heart with your heart. If you are following God's heart with your heart, and if you are listening to what God says and not what man says, that means if you're following God with your mind, God's mind with your mind, and God's heart with your heart, you will indeed make a right judgment. And that's what He's telling us, and that's what He was telling them. Is to stop judging by appearances. Appearances is not what God is interested in. He does not care how good you look to the rest of the world, neither is He concerned with how bad you look to the rest of the world, or how good or bad I look. It's all about our relationship with Him, my relationship with Him, your relationship with Him, with God. That's what He's after, is to improve that relationship. So don't be concerned about it. Follow God's heart with your heart, God's mind with your mind, and you will indeed make the right judgment. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for Your blessings this day. We thank You that Your Word is here to comfort us and guide us, that it gives us direction. Lord, help us to follow Your Word. Help us not to get caught up in some of the silliness that we sometimes do. Instead, Lord, let Your Holy Spirit just illuminate those Scriptures for us so that when we look at it, we see Your truth. When we look at it, we'll see Your heart. And we'll understand what it is You want us to do. What Your heart is. Lord, might we follow Your Word to the letter of Your heart. Lord, might our minds be conformed more to Your mind. And might we know You more. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Again,